Welcome to Searchlight, a survey through Scripture with Pastor John Corson. It is our desire to bring you a systematic study of the entire Bible, chapter by chapter, book by book. Do you know that sin is good news? How can that be? Isn't sin bad? Well, yes, but as John explained to us on our last program, if we understand about sin, we can deal with it. We can repent from sin and be forgiven for sin and released from the burden of sin. But our culture denies sin. Our culture wants to blame others for the things that we do wrong. And because of that, people never get better in their hearts and minds. They never experience healing. This whole thing is pictured for us in our study of 2 Samuel chapter 1, where Saul is killed by an Amalekite. In the Bible, the Amalekites are a picture of our fleshly, sinful tendencies. Saul was told to destroy the Amalekites years earlier, but he didn't do it, and it came back to destroy him. Let's now join Pastor John as he continues this story, and we understand the benefits of knowing about sin.
I'll tell you what your kids need to hear. What we need to hear is, I love you. You're a sinner. Here's the good news. Repent. Turn around. Change your mind. Recognize it's not because of this or that or the other. You're a sinner, son. You're a sinner, sweetie. And guess what? The good news is Jesus Christ loves you and died for you and says, now go your way and sin no more. See? It's the power, the healing power of God's way, of God's plan, is to let people know, hey, sin, that's the issue. Saul, that's the problem. Because of that, you've lost your authority. You've lost your opportunity. You've lost the monarchy because you didn't understand. Amalek has got to be dealt with. It's sin. It's plain old flat out sin. Deal with it and be free. Or deny it. Oh, well, it's not really that. I got it all boxed up and I've got it chained and I got it worked out. And you'll never be free. Sin. It's part of the good news. I'm so thankful. The older I get, the more I see where culture is going, the gladder I am that there's this word called sin. Because I can repent of that. I can say, Father, you're right. That is sin. That action, that attitude, that activity. That thought, that tendency, it's sin. You're right. It's sin. I confess it to you. It's sin. I repent of it tonight. It's sin. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me right now. And I don't need counseling. And I suggest to you that 95% of the people in the Church of Jesus Christ do not need the counseling that they think they do. It's simply because they haven't been taught properly that it's sin. You don't explore it. You don't explain it. You simply acknowledge, God, this is wrong. Forgive me. Have mercy on me. Thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses me. And I take responsibility and I'm turning away today. Sin. It's the best thing going. We are the only people that can be healthy. Do not let this culture affect you. Do not let even Christian psychologists get to you. Where they start to say, oh, this is going to be a long process of many hours in my office, by the way, at $100 per hour. It's going to take at least 3 years, you see. Just come clean before the Lord and say, it's sin. I sinned, Lord. I realize that. It's me. It's sin. Have mercy and repent, and you'll be set free. It's amazing. Saul didn't. He explained it away. Excused it, and it eventually got to him. Well, quickly. David then In talking about this, in thinking about that, it says he lamented, verse 17, with his lamentations over Saul and over Jonathan, his son. David's heartbroken. It's interesting. David doesn't go, oh, goody, goody, I'm king. King me, you know. That's not what he said. David really loved Saul and loved Jonathan, obviously. And he was sad about what was taking place, about what came down. His heart was broken. He lamented. Verse 18 is interesting, parenthetically. It says, also David bade them teach the children of Judah to use the bow. Behold, as it is written in the book of Jasher. Now, David here, parenthetically, verse 18, mark that, says, hey, here's what's to happen. As there's lamentation, as there's this mourning, David says, here's the key. Get the bow and the arrow and teach the young people how to be archers. Why? You might recall back in 1 Samuel chapter 13, it says there that the Philistines had taken away all the weapons of iron and the instruments of iron and the tools of iron from the Israelites. They were forbidden to have iron weapons or tools that the Philistines might have, obviously, the military advantage. They were ruling over the territories. They were in charge of the region. And they said, all the Israelites, turn in your instruments, tools, or weapons of iron. It would seem as though that it was Jonathan and Saul who introduced to the people at that time the bow and the arrow. Because there was no iron in the bow, you see. And the arrows would be tipped with stone. And consequently, it would seem as though this is what Saul and Jonathan did, is they introduced or reintroduced archery as a way of warfare. Now, the point is simply this. In commemoration of what Jonathan and Saul did in getting the people of Israel armed in that way, they lost their iron instruments, but now, hey, we have bows and arrows. That's what we'll use, you see. David says, in honor of that, right now, instead of continuing our lamenting and mourning, hey, I know you're sad. I know this is a real difficult day for us nationally. What's next? What's coming down? What's going on? David said, here's what we must do. You've heard the phrase, get back in the saddle. David would say, get back in the battle. David would say, don't be sniveling at this time. Yes, lamenting is appropriate. Yes, mourning is understandable, but we have work to do. This is a time for you to teach the kids, the young people, how to be engaged in the battle. So he bade them to teach the children of Judah the use of the bow, as is written in the book of Jasher. That book we do not have. But the story is fully told, evidently, in that book, which we don't have access to. The lesson for you, the lesson for me, is very simple and practical, quite frankly. And that is, when you're feeling bad, there's been a loss in your life, there's a hurt in your heart, there's an ache in your soul, here's the key. Get back in the battle. Get back in the battle. Get back in the battle. Grab your bow and your arrow and get back in the battle. Wage war against the enemy. Serve the Lord with a new intensity. Give him more than you have ever given to him previously. If you don't, you'll stay in a state of gloom and darkness, depression and heaviness. I know this is a real key. You can't stay in the place of mourning and lamenting. You got to get back in the saddle or back in the battle. Get your bow, get your arrow, get going again, or you're not going to do well. David was very practical here, I believe. Yes, this is what Jonathan and Saul brought to us, the bow and the arrow, in commemoration of what they did, but also for restoration of our nation. We got to get back to it again. David encouraged that to happen. At the same time, verses 19 through 27, I'm going to read it through. Listen, because it's a beautiful, beautiful song that David wrote. The sweet psalmist of Israel writes this song, and I like this. He writes this psalm or this song in honor of Saul and Jonathan. The beauty of Israel is slain upon thy high places. How are the mighty fallen? Tell it not in Gath, that Philistine city. Publish it not in the streets of Ashkelon, a second Philistine city, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. Don't let the daughters of the Philistines dance in the streets rejoicing because Saul is dead and Jonathan is gone. Don't publish the matter. Tell it not there. Ye mountains of Gilboa, verse 21, let there be no dew, neither let there be rain upon you, nor fields of offerings. For there on Mount Gilboa, the shield of the mighty is vilely cast away, the shield of Saul as though he had not been anointed with oil. Interesting. Mount Gilboa, let there be no rain or dew upon you, because that's where Saul and Jonathan died. If you go to Israel with us, we'll show you Mount Gilboa. It's amazing. All around Mount Gilboa, it's green. It's relatively lush. There's trees everywhere. Mount Gilboa to this day is barren completely. It was cursed. It was cursed because David in this place said, let there be no dew upon you, nor rain, nor fields, nor growth, you see. And you look at Mount Gilboa, it's an incredible thing to just kind of look and see Mount Gilboa right there. And all around it, there's fields, there's growth, there's trees. But on that southern slope of Mount Gilboa, where the battle was fought, where Saul fell, it's absolutely barren, even as David said it would be. He cursed the mountain. And he says, verse 22, in this song of lamentation, from the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan turned not back. The sword of Saul returned not empty. They did damage even though they died, you see. They did damage. And Saul and Jonathan, verse 23, were lovely and pleasant in their lives. And in their death, they were not divided. They went down together, these lovely men. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. Ye daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet with other delights, who put on ornaments of gold upon your apparel. Oh, how are the mighty fallen, verse 25, in the midst of the battle. O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thine high places. I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. How are the mighty fallen and the weapons of war perished? David here, inspired by the Spirit, recorded for you and me in the Bible, was sincerely expressing a broken heart. Not just for Jonathan, his close, close friend and brother, but for Saul too, the king that was after him, as we've been reading about. David loved these guys, and David could have said, well, you know, at last I'm free. Saul got what he deserves, about time. What a work God did in David's heart. Maybe there's somebody that's after you, throwing spears in your direction, chasing you down, wanting to do you in. Would you write a song like this for them? If they were suddenly removed? Or would you say, praise the Lord. Dealt with at last, just like I knew it would be. And man, it's about time, quite frankly. Notice what David says here. He compliments in verse 19, Saul and Jonathan's beauty. In verse 21, he talks about their strength and dignity when he says the last phrase, their shield is mighty and it's been anointed with oil. They're strong, they're mighty men. They have the anointing of the Lord upon their lives. Verse 23, they have military prowess. They're swifter than eagles, stronger than lions. Verse 24, Saul's generous. Oh, women, don't you know the clothing you wore, the goods that we had economically were because of his work as our king. He was in charge of the economy, if you would. And you break this down. We don't have time to tonight. But you find that David had this wonderful ability to do what Paul said we all ought to in the book of Philippians. Paul says, approve the things that are what? Excellent. Find good things in anybody, in everybody. Find something good. Find the good in the person that's throwing spears at you, in the person that you just really don't even like to see come your way. Here's the challenge for you. Challenge for me. Rather than focus on their weaknesses and their problems, I am going to look for the good. I'm going to approve the things that are excellent. In fact, Paul goes on to say that we ought to esteem others as being what? Better than ourselves. Why? Because it's true. That person that you can't stomach in the flesh, that person you don't like in your flesh, that person is better than you in something. Every person that you meet, every person you talk to, every person you come into contact with is better than you at something. You need to realize that. I've got to remember that. That person is better than me. He might pray with more intensity. He might be more artistic than me. He might have a greater understanding of certain spiritual aspects, or he might be able to fix a car or whatever it is. He's better than me. She's better than me. We're to treat every single person as being better than us with dignity. It's the way to live. And boy, I want to be that way. I truly do. I want to say, Lord, you made that person. You know what? Show me how they excel. Show me how they portray your image. The rabbis teach that there is a reason for the billions of people that inhabit the earth. Man was created in the image of God, and it takes billions of people to portray God properly. Every one of us has a little piece to contribute. Now, what our job is to say, I'm going to look for the piece that speaks of God, or the peace that is a reflection of God in your life, not just Christians, but in anybody you meet, anywhere you go. Even the drunk on the streets or curbs of San Francisco. Lord, there's something in this person that portrays you uniquely. There's something in this person that is a part of being created in your image, and we need them. We need her. We need him. Now, it might be covered up a bit right now, or it might not be seen real clearly today, but Lord, give me the ability to look at any person and every person and say, you're better than me. In fact, you portray the image of God in some way, somehow, to some degree. You say, well, John, the people that I work with or the people that are coming after me or whatever it is, I don't see anything good. Look harder. David said, there's something about Saul. He was like an eagle. He was a man of generosity in providing for the women of the nation. He had the anointing of the Lord upon his life. He was a man who was mighty with the shield and sword. And Jonathan, his love, man, the way he could love, his faithfulness, his friendship, unbelievable. Better than anything the world could offer, anything I've ever seen, Jonathan was a true friend. And David laments for them. Well, may God give us the ability to love our enemies, to really love our enemies and say, Lord, show me how you are reflected in them and help me not to speak against them. Here's your choice. You can be a David and say, I'm not going to touch the Lord's anointed. I'm not going to go after you. Or you can be like the Amalekite young man. Whack, whack, I killed him. You're dead, David said. The Holy Spirit has brought us to this passage tonight because we need to deal with this issue right here. What issue? Is there something in the flesh, something of our flesh, that we have been excusing and saying, it's not that big of a deal. I've got it under control. Don't be so legalistic. Don't be so restrictive. Don't be so uptight. You're paranoid. You're religious, whatever it might be. I've got this Amalek thing under control. Listen to me. Tonight, if you leave the sanctuary and say, hey, it's not that big of a thing. It's just the way I am. It's just the way people are. It's just the way our culture is. You're going to get killed. It's going to kill you. What do you mean it's going to kill me? You'll come to the place where you'll say, truly, I want to die. I wish I was dead. How did this thing spin out of control? How did that happen to me? That's not what I wanted. That wasn't my heart. That wasn't where I was going. What happened to me? What happened to my family? What happened? What happened was you didn't kill it when you heard the message on a Wednesday night. You laughed it off. Or you put it aside. Or you said, it's not a big thing. It's not that. My kids can handle that. We can handle this. It's just not that big of a thing, you see. It's going to get you. Not God. It's not God who's going to get you. It's the sin itself. It's the Amalekite that shows up. It's the Amalekite that comes around. It's the Amalekite that lops your head off. It's sin. And the way to be free is to call it just that. Call it sin. And say it's got to go. I must repent tonight. I don't care who thinks what. There's an issue in my life that needs to be dealt with. I need to come to the table. I need to be on my knees. I need to say, Lord, I am a sinner and I have sinned. Forgive me. And I repent of that tonight. Have mercy on me. And set me free, Lord. And I'm looking to you. I'm turning around. I'm changing my mind. I'm not going to play with this anymore. If you choose to do that, you will be so wise and set free. If you don't, I am an Amalekite, and you'll want to die. Be wise. Not just this night, but every day in your walk with the Lord. Don't give Agag. Don't give the Amalekites. Don't give the flesh an opportunity to hurt you. Don't do it. God give you wisdom. I'm praying for you. I really am. Pray for me. Please do. Let's pray for each other, all of us, that God would give us understanding that the flesh has got to be mortified and that we have got to be those that say, I'm going to listen to what the Spirit is telling me and I'm going to deal with it. I'm not going to excuse myself anymore. Well, I'm Irish, or, you know, I'm old, or I'm young, or I'm this or that. There's no more excuses. It's sin. And the good news is, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
That is definitely good news, because we are sinners and we need to be cleansed. Hear the word of the Lord today. Deal with that sin issue. Don't let it have place in your life. If we don't deal with it, it will come back to kill us. But if we deal with it, we will experience the release and freedom that God has for us.
This teaching is also available on the Searchlight website at johncorson.com. You will also find on the website Pastor John's books and other Bible study resources. Again, the address of the website is johncorson.com.
The Searchlight radio program is available as a podcast. This means that you can download the program to your mobile phone, computer, tablet, or other mobile device and listen to it at your convenience. For complete information, please check out the podcast page on the Searchlight website at johncorson.com.
Searchlight is a listener-supported ministry. We appreciate your prayers and support. May the Lord richly bless you.